It's that time of year we mentioned with Jack Fitzpatrick that I guess everybody's bustling and working on Capitol Hill. And somewhat adjacent at the United States Supreme Court, they're doing the same thing, except it's not decisions that come out on a Wednesday and sort of you notice it and maybe it's page 3 in the Washington Post. There are big decisions to come now to bring us up to date. Lydia Wheeler joins Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter. Lydia, thank you so much for joining. What's the immediacy of this? Like, do the big decisions start coming this week?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yes, we've got 18 cases left to be decided, and before the court packs it in for the term. And in typical Supreme Court fashion, they are saving all the major blockbusters for the bitter end, and those are the ones that have the most potential to be really politically explosive.
All right, so what are a couple of the top two or three that you think we should be paying attention to?
Right, so we're still waiting for a decision on the constitutionality of using race in college admission decisions. The court heard two cases challenging affirmative action programs, one at the University of North Carolina and another at Harvard College. So we heard that case in October, and at that time it seemed like the court's conservative wing seemed ready to rule affirmative action is unconstitutional. So that's one we're waiting for. Another big one that everyone wants to know about is the fate of President Biden's plan to forgive federal student loan debt for some 40 million Americans. The court also heard two cases challenging that policy earlier this term. You know, one was brought by six Republican-led states that claim that they'll lose revenue if the debt is forgiven. You know, the other case was brought by two student loan borrowers who actually claimed that Biden's plan didn't go quite far enough. You know, they said that they didn't get a chance to fight for greater debt relief because the Biden administration didn't follow the proper public notice and comment rulemaking requirements. So we have that. And then we have another big one that we're waiting for it's a major election law case that could give state legislatures almost unfettered authority to set rules for federal elections.
Right.
So this fight centers on a congressional map that Republicans drew in North Carolina. And it's interesting because, like, the state Supreme Court in that case actually kind of threw a wrench in it, and they overturned the exact ruling that the court was considering. So they might actually do away with that case by saying that this was granted kind of inappropriately, and we're just going to dismiss it.
We'll see what happens. I'm fascinated by the blindness of Lydia Wheeler or Greg Storr or others, the Lawfare people, whatever. Do you have a clear handle on what I'm going to call a 6-3 court? Or is there a huge mystery to pros like you waiting for these big cases?
You know, because we have a 6-3 court that's dominated by conservative justices, some of these decisions are, you know, it's kind of easier to read the tea leaves and see where they're going to go here. But the court has already surprised us a couple times this term. We've already gotten, earlier this month, we got a surprising boost to the Voting Rights Act. When the court rejected a Republican-drawn congressional map in Alabama, and they upheld a lower court's decision that requires the legislature to draw a second majority black district. Just last week, the court rejected a major challenge to a law known as the Indian Child Welfare Act that was passed in the late 70s, and it gives preference to Native Americans in adopting and fostering American Indian children.
Was that a surprise to you? Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, you know, it kind of was. I think we saw that, you know, Justice Neil Gorsuch has always been a defender of tribal rights, but, it was kind of surprising to see that decision come from Justice Barrett. It's the first major decision that she's written recently. And yeah, I think a lot of people were surprised that they left that law intact.
Lydia, just give us a sense. What is the timing? When does the term end? When can we expect this?
So nobody quite knows exactly when the term is going to end, but they typically wrap up at the end of June.
Yeah,
there's no set date of saying we're done. They have to finish issuing all of their decisions. And so the next scheduled opinion day is actually going to be this Thursday. It's very likely the court's going to add another decision day on Friday. And then next week, it seems like, they'll have a couple days. We don't know which days yet, but they'll release kind of their last opinions. They usually finish before July 1st, but you never know. Some years, I think there's been maybe one in history where they've kind of gone over. And, we have 18 cases. I personally think that they have enough time to get all of those decisions out the door and, go on their summer recesses by the beginning of July. But we'll see.
We'll see if you go on your summer recess by the beginning of July. Lydia Wheeler, thank you so much.
I need a summer recess. I could use a summer recess.